Hey there. Welcome to the Pelvis Project podcast. I'm Megan.
And I'm Roxy. We're two pelvic health experts brought together by passion for our careers, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and the desire for intentional relationships.
Join us in our mission to spread pelvic floor awareness and start conversations surrounding the truth behind genuine health, imperfect wellness, and joyfully navigating life. We are so glad you are here with us.
Let's start the conversation.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, we are coming at you this episode. It is 9:08 in the evening.
Better late than never. I don't know why
I'm giggling at that. Roxy and I have both been in the clinic all day today and then our normal family stuff after. And by golly, this is the time we could fit it in. So we're making it happen. So we will get to our topic, but before we do that, we're going to start like we did last time with a tell me something good. So Roxy, tell us something good.
All right. I learned how to ride a bike, two-wheeled bike. It's been been a little bit of a process. She launched a rider bike and then she figured out how to ride a two-wheeled bike in the fall, but it was like an used old jinkety bike that we just were trying out kind of at my sister-in-law gave me. And then she kind of refused to do it after that because she had to pedal really hard to get it going. So then now she's been scared, not scared, but just like averse to it. And I gave her an ultimatum on Saturday morning. I said, Patty and I are walking to the donut shop and you can only come if you ride your bike. So it was a rough start, but then she came home smiling.
Oh, she got it.
She's off to the races. Yeah.
So. Donuts are worth it.
Donuts. Yeah.
You know, my son had a Strider bike and he loved that thing. And when we got it for him, he was a little young and he kind of didn't do much with it. And then once he figured it out, he was obsessed and he would not stop. And so then when I knew he was ready for a bike, because he would do that Strider bike and lift his legs up and balance all over the place. I'm like, you can ride a bike. And he refused because he could go so fast on that Strider.
Yeah.
And then
she's like, I just want to ride my Strider bike.
I know.
And then no.
There's finally one weekend where we're like, you are too big. Like, you're just straight up too big for it now. And if you want to come with us, you're going to ride your bike. We figured it out. So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's see here. My tell me something good is, so we just, this episode won't air for a couple weeks, but anyway, we just got through Easter. So Easter was Sunday. We're recording on Tuesday. And we just had a really great weekend. And I was able to see, like, my brother and his family came in town briefly. And then my sister-in-law from St. Louis came in town with my nephews and my brother-in-law and his family. Like, we just were able to kind of see everybody, which was so fun. And the weather was so nice and just getting outside and playing. And then that led us into this week. And then Owen had his first baseball game tonight, and he's my son, Owen, and he is really obsessed with pitching. And so he got to pitch tonight and he got a couple hits, and it was just so fun to see him like, so like proud of himself. And it just made my little mama heart happy. So that was my, yes, tell me something good.
I like it.
Okay. So we are going to share a little bit about something that we see happen in the clinic. And I think it's something good to remember with individuals who are maybe when they're returning to exercise. And it can be anytime, it doesn't have to be postpartum. So like postpartum or like anytime you're returning to exercise, especially if you're somebody that might be experiencing some sort of pelvic floor dysfunction. And you're like, okay, I'm going to start this exercise program, and you start it and you're like, why is this not improving? Or this is actually getting worse type of thing. And we're going to share a little bit about what it is we see happen and how sometimes maybe just having a couple visits with a pelvic floor therapist to get a little bit of an insight into what's happening can lay a better foundation and like set you on the right path. And then from there, you just like soar. So Roxy, why don't you, I'll let you kind of take over from this, and then we'll kind of just like go back and forth about some of the things that we've seen.
Well, and I think that if just really probably the majority of patients that we see are coming in and are maybe in a place where they aren't working out at a really high level. Right. Yeah. And so those people, we're kind of starting from square one. You know, we're teaching them different parts of their body. We're teaching them what that should feel like. And that's a great place to start, right? It's like fresh. But there's a lot of people then, and this is kind of what we're kind of seeing, are who are kind of do-it-yourselfers, which is great. Like, I'm kind of in that category myself, but just like are already on like a fitness journey. They know a lot. They're in touch with their body. They're recognizing that the pelvic floor is there. They're aware of it. They're trying to do their best with it. But then, like Megan said, they're hitting a wall. So I kind of think, like, if we're really looking at patients, Megan, are am I saying this right? Of just like kind of our scene, if we're categorizing them, it's like someone starting from square one who has kind of no clue. But we're really talking about people who like are very aware and they're doing a lot of really good things and yes. they're on the right track and they have the right intention, but they're not seeing
like something's the fruit of not, that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something's not happening correctly. Okay. So when we talk about this, you're like, okay, get to the point. What are you talking about? So what we see is, okay. So when I tell you this, we're talking like, this could be just like a patient that is like just coming in to see us, but we've also been to where it's like our friends, like our own colleagues in the PT field or our friends that are in the fitness industry where they come in and they're like telling us their symptoms or whatnot. And so the best way for us to check, to really see, okay, what is happening when we're bracing? What is happening when we're activating our TA? Because if, especially if you're in an area of the state or the country that like you don't have a lot of access to like fitness facilities. And so you do like an online program that you purchase. There are some fantastic online programs out there that we often will point people to. We are not like opposed to any of that, especially, you know, ones that do have like a pelvic floor or core, like kind of like more driven component to them. And so that right there is like first step. The intention is good. You know what you're wanting to work on. But then you're left with like, golly, like what, why is like point A and point B not connecting? And so what we see happen is we might have somebody come in and they're telling us this. And it's like, okay, we need to do an internal assessment because even if you're not having like necessarily any other like pelvic pain or anything like that, one thing that cannot lie is you could be laying on the table. We could ask you to activate your transverse abdominis muscle, which is your deepest core muscle. We could ask you to activate that and it could appear that you're doing it correctly. And then we could have you do that while we're doing an internal assessment. And what should happen when you do that transverse abdominis contraction is your pelvic floor should lift and act like your pelvic floor. It's almost like zipping up. It's what we like to call it. Your pelvic floor activates, it lifts, and then the TA goes with it. They work together. But what happens is that somebody goes to activate their TA. And so when we're doing an internal assessment, that should want to like draw our finger up and in. But when somebody does a TA contraction and it wants to push our finger out, that means that we are not activating correctly or coordinating correctly. And that can be the difference right there of somebody leaking. We fix that. Sometimes that can be it. That can mm-hmm. be the problem. And so it's, you know, sometimes you have people on the table that like are in the industry and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. I don't know how to do that. And for us, we're like, no, don't be embarrassed for that. Like we get excited because we're like, that's an easy fix. And it's kind of like just a re-coordination awareness thing. So Roxy, you and I were kind of talking about a case that you had where you had somebody doing this. And so, yeah. And you did a standing assessment too. And like when they went to go brace, they like, it like bared down. So tell us like, kind of like, what do you look at when you do that?
Yeah. So this is a very, very educated individual, very smart girl, very strong, very fit, very aware, like don't assume that this person was like oblivious or doing everything wrong. In fact, she was doing everything that she humanly possibly could do right. And she was aware and she was bracing. She had a history of prolapse symptoms. So she's very aware. She was a strong girl. So she lifts heavy, but she just came in really fearful. She's like, something's not right. I can tell. I'm doing all the things. And so, yeah, just like Megan described, when she would engage her core and she would brace, we were doing the internal assessment, she's in standing, her body was trying to push my hand out. And I could feel tissue being pushed closer to the opening there. You know, so we really did some work just with her and standing. And I would say, okay, you know, we'd cue and, you know, then I'm saying, what did you just tell yourself right then? You know, like I could sit there and give her real time feedback. And really what was a lot of it was happening was, poor thing, like she was so aware of her dysfunction that she was almost over, like she was over bracing and she was trying to like time and coordinate all these pieces together almost too much to a fault. And so then the pressure was funneling. She was pulling all of her abdominals inward, but it was funneling the pressure downward, which was then fueling her prolapse. It was interesting then, because even when I was talking to her, I kind of had a feeling this was going on, because she's like, I feel like I'm really bracing well. I'm really intentional about it. I'm resetting. I'm like making sure before my lifts, her body mechanics were on point, y'all. Like when I was watching her, there wasn't anything I could critique to the to the eye. But then the real story came to light with my hand. Like when I could feel what was her body doing and why was she feeling this vaginal tissue pressure happening during her workouts, then it was like, oh. And then what was really beautiful is we just worked through it. Like she stood there and it can be awkward for people, but we stood there. If you've ever had a standing assessment, like my hands up in her vaginal canal, my fingers, and she's standing and my hands between her legs and I'm having her squat. I'm having her like deadlift movement. I'm having her brace and we troubleshooted. Like is that a word? Troubleshooted?
We just made it one.
Whatever. It saw me. But like basically in real time, then we corrected it and we trained her body in that session to correct well. And then basically like, she's like, oh, I feel that. And I would say, what are you telling yourself? Like if you had to tell someone else to do that, what would you say? Cause that's what I want you to tell yourself when you're lifting and my hand isn't in between your legs, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, it just like, it was the power of one visit. Like this girl was doing all the right things. There was no way for her to self-diagnose. And so it wasn't that she was making bad decisions for herself at all. Her body just wasn't coordinating. The message that she was telling, like the message in her head that she was trying to tell her core and her pelvic floor was just not being executed correctly. And she had no way of knowing that until we checked it.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of what this whole purpose of this episode is about, is like just knowing that you are strong and you're doing all this stuff. And if it just doesn't seem like things are quite right, again, it kind of like piggybacks on our last episode about how valuable an internal assessment can be. And this kind of goes along with that, especially if you are just kind of noticing that things just aren't quite right. And also, if you're working with somebody online or, you know, like sometimes you work with like trainers online or different stuff like that. And this just goes to show, like Roxy just said, like from the eye, when you're watching somebody, sometimes like you can be spot on. It can appear that everything is going just fine. But I tell you what, when you go in and be able to assess what that pattern is happening with the breath and everything with an internal assessment, that is like so cool. Cause like she just said, like one session retrain, and then, you know, it's like, okay, go home, work on this for a while. We don't even be seeing you every week for that, unless there's something else, you know, going on or they want to be seen. But it's like,
we did like a follow up a month later. Let's make sure that this is still working well. And that you have, you know, what you're doing is working.
It doesn't take much. So I've seen this where, kind of a similar thing. I had a patient that I saw that was pregnant with her second. And so she's having to pick up her first child quite a bit. And she was like, I'm just kind of noticing this like vaginal pressure. And you know, you could tell she's fearful. Like she knew she had a little bit of a prolapse. She was like thinking that she was like doing all the things well. And we assessed. And that's what we found, was this very similar thing that Roxy just said. It's like you cinch through the center and it funnels all the pressure down. I gave her a couple little reminder things, a little adjustments. And it was funny because the next time I saw her, which was like a handful of weeks later, I was like, oh, hey, like, how's that going? She was just like, oh yeah, that's gone. It's totally fine. Almost like it was like a distant memory. And you're just like, those are the moments where you're like, yes. You know, that's just, she just needed a little reminder, because sometimes our bodies just, it's that connection. And then also with that, if we talk in the postpartum realm, often we return to exercise and it's just easier to do it at home. And so we do like classes, and we have to remember that it is hard postpartum to reconnect with that core after it's been stretched. And same thing with the pelvic floor. And when you talk about that over recruitment, sometimes we end up seeing that where they're trying so hard postpartum to activate that it ends up, it's something that we see happen called like upper ab gripping, where someone might like appear to start like they're like they take their breath and they're like they feel that they like zip up pelvic floor, lower TA, and everything's looking beautiful. And all of a sudden, there's like this shift and this pressure, like down, and you can see it happen in the lower abdomen, because like everything gathered, everything activated the way it's supposed to, and then the upper ab gripping just came down. That's my sound effect. And so again, it's like this overactivation where I have to be like, okay, look, that's beautiful, now stop right there. And they're like, oh, that's all I need to do? Yeah. You don't need to add that extra little like crunch at the end. So I'm sure you've seen something like that before, Roxy, too, where it's, it comes from the top.
Yeah. And I think one thing too that I've really tried to kind of reassure people with too is that our bodies used to do this. Like, we're just reminding it how to work. Yeah. And so it's not this magic thing. And
yes,
what cues maybe work for somebody are dumb and pointless to the next person. Like, you might as well speak to a brick wall, not because that person's an idiot, but just because, like, Megan, between you and I, we probably have like 35 ways to cue the TA of just you know, just like, try this or think about this or, you know, whatever. Like, there's just so many different ways. And it's not because one person needs 35 different ways. It's just because what works really good for somebody doesn't work for the other. Right. And so then if we think about some of those, like, you know, when someone's making a course, they're doing the best they can and they're imagining person and they're just doing the best that they can to explain it and generalize it to the people who are going to be taking that course, or maybe in like a class. You know, I don't know how many people have been like, this is what they must have been talking about the whole time at yoga. Like, she tells me this all the time and I had no clue this is what it was supposed to feel like, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think just the power of saying, okay, each of our bodies was created to work in a certain way and it gets derailed. And we don't always realize that it gets derailed and it just needs reminding. But that reminder, a lot of times, the need that our body has is a really personalized need to figure that out. And so you're not an idiot because in your yoga class or this course that you bought, it's not clicking. It's just because that's a general course and that's 90% good. But if you have that 10% that needs more help, you're not going to get that out of that. And so sometimes it's like, it's just a quick fix. And we're not saying this is all pelvic health cases, because there's some really stinking complex cases that are long standing and it just takes a long process to recover. What we're talking about are some of these really simple cases that it's like, you're doing all the things right.
Yeah, you're
Let
strong.
Us come alongside you. Let us correct this one little thing that just is a hitch, right? It's just this speed bump that is tripping you up over and over again. Let's correct this one thing and you're just going to be free sailing then after that.
Yeah. I mean, I have patients to where we get them to a point, or it's somebody that I was like seeing for somebody else or somebody else seeing for something else. And then they've got really good education on that and their body and their connection. And then I get to a point where I'm like, listen, when we first met, we know that safety wise, it wasn't probably a good idea to do a class because it was too much and we didn't have a good foundation. Now you know so much. And I'm like, now feel free. Like, I'm totally all for that. And they're like, okay, great. Like, because we are, a lot of what we see are busy moms, you know? And so they're like, cool. If that's good, I'm like, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with you giving that a shot. And I'd rather you give it a shot while we're still, you know, in contact, so that we can fix anything that might show up versus, you know, not. So I think just the takeaway is it's almost better to, especially in that postpartum time, go ahead and like get an assessment, see where you're at, get a little guidance on reconnection, and then go do what it is you're going to work, like do your program that you're going to do. Because it would be better to do that versus work on a program for 8 weeks and almost things get worse, you know. This is just like when we talk about stuff, this is just what we see. We're being honest in the fact that like we do. We have people come in that say like, oh, I've been doing this, like whatever, you know, mom fit, whatever, which is a great, they're great programs. You know, it's like, but now, yeah. And like, you are right for trying to exercise. And then we like fix one thing. They're like, oh, I totally misunderstood that. This makes sense now. So anyway, we're just encouraging of don't also feel like you have to, unless you have something, you know, going on that we need to have a long plan of care, or not a long, but a longer plan of care. It's also very much okay to be like, hey, I want to schedule an appointment for like a couple visits just to get like a baseline and just to kind of see how it is I'm coordinating, because I want to do this program and I just want to make sure that I'm doing it right. Cool.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Come on in.
And I think that, I mean, just the same, and this can go into any facet of life, but in this instance, everybody's so different that our plans of care look so different for every person that walks through the door, and what your goals are and what your intention is with where we're at. Some people want to work with us till they're 100%, and that's great and that's fine. Some people though, like, no, 90%, like we said, 90% of the things they're doing, they are doing them well, and they just say, I need help with this 10%. They don't really say that, but it's that idea of like,
yeah,
I know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm struggling with this little sliver. And once we figure that out, we click, it clicks. And that's then, and then whatever that looks like, if they want to come back the next week and double check, if they want to come back in a month and double check, like, I just think that there's a little bit of a, you see what one person has to go through, or you hear, oh, that person was in pelvic floor rehab for months. Yeah. And I don't want to commit to that. I don't have the time for that. Like, just like Megan said, there's season, like there's busier seasons, and do what feels best, but also like know that we can work with whatever you bring to the table. And it, yeah, you know, we can, it can be very valuable, and you can get a lot out of a little bit of time.
It's better to have a good foundation and build from that. And if that's a couple of visits, great. Versus like, I mean, I use a house being built foundation analogy all the time. We have a foundation with cracks in it. Like, eventually you're going to have some major issues show up. So it's better to just start strong. So anyway, hopefully y'all took away something productive from this conversation. I think the biggest thing is just like validating that if you are working really hard and you are a strong individual, I mean, good golly, like I just am so proud of how many women are taking control of their health and learning. And if you are, you know, you're taking care of yourself, but you have this little thing that's happening, don't beat yourself up about it and be like, golly, what is wrong? Again, it goes back to this whole like how we treat ourselves and the way we speak to ourselves and like ashamed of what our body is doing. It's so cool when literally sometimes it can just be a matter of like a couple things that we say or do and you got it. And it's so awesome to then see people just kind of take off. And so this is supposed to just kind of be more of an encouraging talk. And also just kind of speaking into, if you are somebody that works in the body kind of like wellness space, and you know, even if you have training and, you know, sometimes there's like training background and like pelvic floor, if you're somebody who's working in that space and you're having a client continually kind of with the same issues, don't be afraid to go ahead and refer them to go get an internal assessment, and then they can come right back to you. Because we have we have therapists that are in this world that, I mean, Roxy and I look up to, that don't do internal work, that work externally. We've done trainings and courses from them, and they're PTs. But she says, there are certain things that I look for, and sometimes I refer them out, have them go get an internal assessment, do that little bit, and then come back and see me. And that same thing can go in any other like realm. So the biggest thing is we just don't want somebody to think like, oh, well, you know, I've got a little bit of training in this and I know the core, so I can fix this. And maybe you can. It's fantastic. But if like something doesn't seem to be connecting, refer. Just like we refer when there's something that we see that we're like, this doesn't follow a pattern. We're not seeing this the way that, you know, we're not seeing a change the way it should be. we always know when we're, you know, was part of our training is to know when to refer out. So anyway, that is that. And now it is 9:35 and I think Roxy and I are toasted for the night. We are, put a fork in us. We're done for the day.
It's just going to get crazy if we keep going.
It is. All right. So little short episode, but always just kind of fun to chat about some of the things we see and we get excited. We just get so excited when we see this stuff and it gets corrected quickly. So anyway, okay. Well, of course, we would appreciate any following us on Instagram at The Pelvis Project and rating us and sharing, commenting, any of that good stuff. And we'll just keep this conversation going. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Pelvis Project podcast. Help us continue the conversation by liking and sharing this episode with friends. And if you really want to do us a solid, leave us a review. If you'd like to follow us on social, check out the show notes for links. And remember, this week, take a deep breath and relax your pelvic floor.